And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as they would. Have you ever tried to feed a large group of people? You know, it's not an easy thing. You think about it. I mean, the Bible mentions 5,000 men. Now, if we were to kind of reckon this according to just our modern day understanding of the passage, if there were 5,000 men, more than likely there were wives there. Now, maybe not all of them had a wife, but perhaps some of them did. And let's suppose they had just two children. The estimates were that there would be up to about 15,000 to 20,000 people here in this place where Jesus wants to feed them. And all they have is five loaves and two fishes. But what would you do if you were in that situation? I mean, think about how many, feeding that many people, and how many of you realize that feeding men is much different than feeding children? How many of you understand that, you know? How would you like to pick up the paycheck, the check for this? Now, it's kind of like this. Let's suppose we go to McDonald's, and we're going to feed this crowd. And we go to McDonald's, and we say, okay, we need a $5 burger meal, you know, burger, fries, drink, right? $5. How much would the bill be at the end if you were to feed 20,000 people at $5? Be $100,000. Now, the manager might be real happy after he got everybody served. But how many of you realize that feeding 5,000 men and wives and children up to maybe 20,000 at $5 a pop, $100,000, that would virtually be impossible for any of us to do? I mean, that's a lot in one meal. That's the scenario we're looking at. The story picks up, and if you continue in the story, look at verses 12 and 13. Here's what it says. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Not only was everyone filled up, there were leftovers. It's an amazing, amazing story here. I mean, even though the resources were limited, let me remind you of this. Jesus' resources weren't. Even though they didn't have a lot of what we would say a lot to give, God can certainly take what they had and multiply it. I want to call your attention to the lad here in the story, because there's something about this lad that we can resonate with. The Bible said there are some things that we need to understand about it. First of all, he had barley loaves. Now, barley loaves, that was the bread of the poor. In other words, only the poor use barley loaves. Other people use better quality. That's all he could afford. We don't know how old this little boy is, but the Greek word seems to indicate he was probably 8 or 9, 10 years old. He was in that time frame. He was called a little child. It's just a word indicating who he was. I mean, obviously he wasn't a teenager. He wasn't, because they're called young men in the Bible. But here was a young boy carrying a basket. The Bible said he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. If we could go to the picture, I want you to kind of get just a picture of this. It's probably like 5 biscuits or so and a couple of fish. And people said, well, it must be his lunch. Well, it could have been maybe his food for a couple of days. We don't really know. The scriptures doesn't indicate that. The scripture just simply tells us that here was a young boy with this. That's what he had in his basket, and that's all they had. That was it. Just as Jesus gave this basket, just as this boy gave this basket to Jesus, you know, really, quite frankly, we are all going to take a part in giving so that we can help real families experience real hope in Jesus today. There's a choice. Jesus gave this boy an opportunity. He said, I have a vision for these 20,000 people or so here in the Golan Heights area that we call it today. I have a vision for these people. And he was calling on this little boy to be a part of that vision. And that little boy made a choice to be a part. At the end of this service, all of us, we can make a choice on being a part of the vision that God has for us. Now, let me tell you about his vision, though. Jesus' vision was not about the food. Jesus' vision was about their spiritual life. Jesus' vision was about the fact that they would know him as their personal Savior. In fact, the miracle is not what Jesus was trying to call attention to. It was to the miracle worker himself. That's what Jesus was doing in this passage. And so as we look here, we learn some valuable principles that God gives to us on what we can do to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. Let me show it to you. Principle number one is a lesson of surrender. The lesson of surrender. In a sense, this lad represents all of us here. Because this lad represents a person who was asked, who God is asking to engage in his vision. The lesson, the passage is simply trust God, give up to God, give it to God, surrender what we have unto the Lord. By the way, I want to remind you of this. You came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with nothing. And here's what he says, I just want you to surrender what I give you unto me. It's his. Here is a man here's a young boy who surrendered, and here's what God says. When we surrender, and that's our next point, notice what it says. When we surrender all that we have to God, he will more than supply our needs. You realize that when we give it to God, he's going to take care of it. He's going to take care of whatever needs we are. There are times when you think about, man, that's going to be tough. You know, I don't know what it is. It's something about human nature, about giving something up that we don't like. I don't know what it is. And then when I think about it, what caused this boy to give up his food? I mean, what caused him to, maybe that's the second miracle in the miracle here, that the boy would give it up. Because I have a video I want you to look at. Here's human nature in operation. I just want you to see it, all right? Isn't that human nature, huh? I mean, just, you know, just to give it up and all of that, you know, just turn it over? I don't think so. You see, in their immaturity, these kids didn't want to give up what they said was theirs. There was something about this boy. God was working in his heart. God was working in his life. And God was saying to him, are you willing to give up unto me what I lay on your heart so that you can invest in helping others? You see, when we surrender what God lays on our heart, he will do some very amazing things in our life. And honestly, without surrendering, we can't see God doing his greatest work. You know, today, I want to ask you a question. Today, will you say to God, today, God, I surrender all that I have to you, Lord. I surrender my job, my finances, my possessions, my family, my heart, my life unto you. I just surrender. I give it up to you. It's all yours, Lord. And because this boy was willing to surrender what he had to help others, great things happened. Great things that he could have never imagined God doing. And as God, as we obey God, as he leads us in owning the vision, I believe that God could do some very amazing things. You see, you just never know what God's going to do. When people are generous, God does some pretty amazing things. I'm going to ask Nathan to come up here and tell you a story. When people get generous, what God does right here in this place.
Thank you. There's a family in our church that have become Christians in the last 12 months. And this family is from Iran. And I'm going to ask Pars to Party and Pran to please come up to the stage at this time. I'm not sure if one of them are in Main Street, but that's okay. But if you're in here, if you can come up to the stage. They can't go back to Iran because now that they're Christians, if they profess Christianity, they could be in danger. And they've applied for asylum, and they can't legally get work. Come on up here to the stage, ladies. Come on right up here. And they can't legally get work until that goes through. So a couple weeks ago on a Sunday night, we presented the need to the church that they can't legally have work until that goes through. And as a church, you responded very generously. And this morning, because you have responded generously, we would like to present Pars 2 with a check for $2,000 to meet some of her needs because you guys have responded. Church, thank you so much for being a generous church. Thank you so much for responding to the need. And because you've surrendered that to the Lord, this family is being able to be blessed.
You know, as we read, you know, hear about these stories, it's always exciting to me to just see that God's doing some amazing things in providing and doing things for people. God has a vision for people to know Jesus. And this lad understood this principle, number one, the lesson of surrender. There's a second principle I want to call your attention to, and that's the lesson of trust. I think all of us are familiar with the verse, and we can show the verse, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You know, the principle of surrender is important, but also this idea of trust. I mean, think about this lad here now. He didn't have, according to what, as we read it in the scriptures, he was a poor boy. I mean, when he gave up that food, he wasn't even sure where he'll ever get that food again, or how is he going to make it? He had to trust God. And as he gave what little he had, he learned quickly that God was big enough to take care of him. He learned that. And as we give unto the Lord, we realize that it is God's business to do with what he pleases when we give our resources. And something I found about God is when I give my resource, God multiplies that resource for his glory. And in this passage, that's exactly what happened. And he had to trust God because it was nearly 20,000 people that needed what this little boy had given to the Lord, that God could multiply. Can you imagine how many lives could be touched today? If we could just surrender to God and if we could just trust God and say, God, whatever you want me to do, whatever you lay on my heart, Lord, I'm willing to follow you in this vision offering. I'm willing to do whatever you would have me to do. And today, all of us can invest in the vision that God has for Calvary. You can be a part of helping real families experiencing real hope in Jesus. Now, the boy's belongings were virtually nothing in comparison, I'm sure, to others in the first century. but from the standpoint, it seemed insignificant. And you might be sitting here saying, well, man, you don't understand. I'm kind of like that. I feel that way too. But can I tell you this? That if we follow what God wants us to do, and no way in which we as pastors ever want to put pressure on people to do anything that God's not wanting them to do. That's not what we're trying to do here at all. So don't take it that way. But if we could just do what God asks of us and surrender what God wants and what God asks, it's amazing what God can do. He can take what is insignificant and make it significant. He could take what is insufficient and make it sufficient, that God could be pleased. But God wants us to trust him with everything we have, all that we have, as he leads us. And all we do is return back what he would ask of us. There's a third principle I want us to get, and that is the lesson of fulfillment. The lesson of fulfillment. This lad put everything in God's hands. It wasn't until he lost complete control that he began to see what God was going to do. You see, when he was willing to give up control, something happened here. The lad had more than he could ever imagine because God multiplied his resources. I mean, think about it this way. He could have eaten 5 loaves and 2 fishes, maybe over a day or 2 or 3 days. But for Jesus, this boy, not only did he eat and have leftovers, but notice he saw the fulfillment of 20,000 people eating, and there were leftovers for 12. God did something supernatural here. God did something so amazing. And you know, when we give our vision offering, when we participate, I believe that God will multiply our resources too. That God will multiply our resources to feed more than we can ever imagine. And let me just tell you this. As we invest in this vision offering, we are investing in sharing the bread of life with families. Because you see, the message is not about the food. The message is deeper. It's about the spiritual life of people and their need of Jesus. It's about what God says here, that he's giving the bread of life, and he is the bread of life, and he offers to every person who does not know Jesus, he offers to them the bread of life that will not just satisfy them for a day or a week or a month, but will satisfy them for all eternity, because it's only Jesus that can take care of our sin need, and that is, we need forgiveness through him. He is the ultimate life. Now I want you to imagine with me for a minute. I want you to take and put on your spiritual imagination. And I want you to imagine with me for a minute, young families out in the community. I mean, maybe families you invite or people that you see, maybe those in your neighborhood, or perhaps those that you sit next to at work and you invite them to church. And you see a young family pull up into the north parking lot, and they come in one of those soccer vans, you know. And it's a husband, a wife, and 2 kids. And as soon as they stop, open the door, out runs one of the kids, and mom reaches over and grabs the kid. Dad comes around on the side, and he picks out of that car seat a little baby. They make their way across the parking lot and make their way into the lobby. As they walk into the lobby, they look around. They're greeted with smiling greeters. They look to the left, and on the wall is a big logo, and man, that logo, I've seen that somewhere before. So I said, it's out there on the sign out in the front. Can't you see it? I said, no, I saw it somewhere else. Where was it? Oh, I knew where it was. It was that billboard on Highway 12. I saw the same logo. They make their way down the hallway. They go around and they come to the newly remodeled nursery. Man, it's got windows on the side. They register the baby, and Dad makes his way over to Main Street as he drops off his kid while mom's getting the baby registered. And they meet back in the hallway, and they make their way into the auditorium. But you stop for one more look through those windows, make sure their kid is okay. They walk around, they come into the auditorium, and they feel comfortable. They can sit down. They know that everything's okay. They sit down, and they're greeted by people, and people give them a warm welcome. This is what they're looking for, some friends, someone that cares. Then they hear about, during the announcement time, they hear about free resources to help them to better understand Jesus, or maybe something that's low cost to help them in their walk with God. And that's exactly what they were looking for. You see, they hear the word of God. God begins to work in their heart. They're just not quite ready yet. They're not sure. They're just trying to figure it all out. But they hear that it's okay, because they want to know about this bread of life, Jesus. You know, today, every one of you can be a part of making this a reality. You can be a part of making that a reality for this vision for us today. Just do me a favor, please, and take your service program and take out the connection card in the service program. The commitment card in the service program. Would you do that for me, please? If every one of you would take out this, and on the front of it, it says vision offering. If everyone would take this out, that would be great. As you take it out, I want to call your attention to the inside as you open it up. And this vision offering is a commitment card. Here's what it says. By God's grace, I will help real families experience real hope in Jesus. And I don't know where you are or what God is speaking to your heart about, and that's not for us to get involved in that. But certainly God knows what he wants to do in all of us. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is whatever step that God is speaking to your heart about, if you would just mark the box that is here, whatever that is. Maybe for you, it might be the very first time that you've given to God. Maybe that might be your first step or your next step. Perhaps maybe for you, it would be giving consistently. Oh, you gave last year, but somewhere along the way, you just, you know, things got in the way. God speaking to you about giving consistently, or perhaps maybe God speaking to you about giving the full tithe, the 10%. The 10% of what God gives to you, you would give that. Or maybe for you, it'd be the next step would be to give generously. And we have places in there for you to give as a generous giver. That means anything beyond your tithe that you would give, whatever that would be. A generous gift may give a one-time offering today, or perhaps maybe in 90 days you say, you know, with God's help and by God's grace, I want to give something in 90 days. Or perhaps maybe over the next 52 weeks that you would make a commitment. I'm going to make a weekly commitment to give unto God. Or maybe you might say, well, you know, I'm just not ready to invest in the Lord's work at this time. You can check that off too as well. That's what God's speaking to you. Whatever God is speaking to you about, all I can say is, let's just obey what God says. If you're here today and you're not a Christian yet, I just want to say thank you for being here today. That's wonderful. The reason why that you have a service like this is for people who are not yet Christians, so they can be, so they can know. We care. We want to invest so that we can help. We want to put our feet to our prayer. And we're so grateful that you're here. And not only that, but Jesus also did what no one else could do. The Bible said that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, that he died for you and for me. And being crucified later, he was taken off the cross and buried, and he rose again the third day. We'll celebrate that in a few weeks. He did that for you and for me so that we could be forgiven. That is what Jesus invested everything. And boy, I tell you today, as you're here, if you don't know Christ, I just want you to know you can know him today. Regardless of where you are, you can know him because he loves you. Will you today decide and ask God, God, what is it that you would want me to do to invest in this vision offering? Let us pray.